Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into broadcasting in this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we're here at verse number 29. Matthew 12, 29. The Lord Jesus has been accused in this passage by the Pharisees that he's casting out demons by the power of Satan. And the Lord has made it very clear and declared something that you and I know. A house, a kingdom, a city, if it's divided against itself, it can't stand. No one ever works against themselves to accomplish a goal, a purpose. And so the Lord declares that. And so he says, if I'm casting out demons by the power of Satan, then Satan's kingdom won't stand. But he says, if I'm doing it by the power of God, the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come very close to you. You've seen it. You've heard me preach, and you've seen me heal with the power of God. In the book of Luke, in chapter 5, the Lord makes very clear, and the Lord makes very, very clear that the working of the miracles is that so we may know that he has power on earth to forgive sins. And so that's the reason for the miracles. The miracles are not the end. They're not the end all. They are a blessing and a miraculous, no doubt were a miraculous sight to behold and to rejoice in. But the miracles are not the end. The end that is needed, the end, the accomplishment is the salvation of the souls of sinners and the worship and glorification of God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. People get their focus off, and it's so easy for us to do that. And so the Lord has said, if I do this so prolifically by the power of Satan, then the few that your children do, where's their power? Are you saying that so much good is done? Because that's all that was done here was good. And would Satan pursue to do good for the children of men? Why, no, he wants to destroy mankind. So he says, if I do so much by the power of Satan, the few that your children heal and cast out demons, where's their power? But if I do it by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom's come close to you, which you better hear and believe and heed. The finger of God at hand. He tells about the strong man, and if there's a man that is very muscular and strong, he's got his armor and everything to defend his own place. We understand about that. To defend the place where you live, your home. Nobody can come in and take him over unless they're stronger than he is. And Jesus says, I'm stronger than any demon that is out there. I'm stronger than Satan. This is not the working of Satan. Not at all. Then verse 30. Or verse 29, we'll cover that again. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? That means he ties him up because he's stronger. Somebody that's stronger than you can't get him tied up. But if you're stronger than them, you can defeat them. And then he will spoil his house. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He says, fellas, you're running down the work of God in me and the power of the Spirit of God in me and my own divinity. And if you're not with me, you're a scatterer. But if you're with me, you won't be against me. And it's obvious they have been against him. He that is not with me is against me. He said, just like you guys, you're against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You're not with me, and you're a scatterer. Verse number 31. Very serious thing. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy against God, shall be forgiven unto men. All manner. There's not a sin that the Lord can't pay for. There's not a sin that the Lord cannot deal with and meet and satisfy God. But listen to what he says. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, shall not be forgiven unto men. This is referred to as the unpardonable sin. And the Lord tells it, he says, the Father and the Son are able and willing to forgive all manner of sin. There's no sinner too great. There's no sinner too great and no sin too great that the Lord Jesus cannot pay for. But it says here, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven unto men. You know, people, I've run into people over the course of my life that have said that they committed the unpardonable sin. You ask them about it, and then they say that they can't tell you. They don't know exactly what it is. Well, the Lord here says it's very, very plain. That which will not be forgiven by the Holy Spirit of God is attributing his work unto Satan. Attributing the work of the Holy Spirit of God unto Satan. It shall not be forgiven unto men. That's what the scripture says. This is something that people just don't stumble into. But it is diabolical. It is with intent. It is by the haters of God. And so, for somebody to say that they've committed the unpardonable sin, people just don't trip up and fall into the unpardonable sin. But people will have that have done so and do so, I believe it is rare, and they look straight on at the work of God, and they take that work of God and attribute it to Satan. What the real telling point about this is that people are generally ignorant. They're ignorant of the things that are going on and who's doing what. But these here, they knew and saw the work that was going on. And because of their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, they then gave credit of his work by the Holy Spirit of God in him as a man. And he being God, he being man, and they attributed that work to Satan rather than to the Holy Spirit, and they knew exactly what they were doing. Again, the unpardonable sin, nobody trips up and falls into this not knowing exactly what they're doing, just like these men did. They are using religion to build their own way and kingdom. Their own little fiefdom, and they don't want it disturbed. And the righteousness of Christ that is fulfilling the law is contemptible unto them. It is a threat unto them. And they are, to get rid of him, they are willing to try to convince the people to attribute the good work that he's doing rather than yielding to it. And they take it and they lay the power of it upon Satan. And they say that Satan is behind it, when actually Satan and their own depravity is behind what they are doing, and they blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. The unpardonable sin. That's what it is. He says, verse 32, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." Blasphemy against the Son, it can be forgiven. "But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." You don't take the Holy Spirit's work and attribute it as the work of Satan. The Holy Spirit is very offended. He is very offended at that. He says here in verse 33, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, call it like you see it." Jesus, if he would be looked at as a tree, what is his fruit? Oh, it's delightful. It's wonderful. It's sweet. It's precious. He's healed like none other. And the Spirit is manifested in him. He's preached and spoken like none other. He's come healing and casting out demons like none other. If Jesus is likened to a tree, his fruit is bountiful and sweet. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt." But see, you're seeing nothing but good and help and smiles and joy and rejoicing in the things that I do. People are delivered. No one is taken lower, but they're lifted up. You don't get that out of a corrupt tree. But somebody wanting a man on the Sabbath day to keep his withered hand, that is corrupt. And somebody that doesn't want to, that takes the good work of God and attributes it to Satan, the work of the Holy Spirit of God and attributes it to Satan, that is indeed corrupt, isn't it? "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." You know that. We all know that. Verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" He said, you can't. You can't help what you're doing. You are so corrupt. "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and your heart has been revealed by the things you've declared this day. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, like I've been doing, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things, just like you have done in blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God and the wonderful blessing upon the people by God through his Son, through his servant, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Messiah. It's all been blessing. People are going home whole and healed and saved. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, just like you fellows have been talking today. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." The peril of an empty heart. That's what is seen in this day, in this occasion, this account here of these Pharisees. I tell you what, they are to be pitied. It is a sad, sad thing in their stand against the way of the Lord. How about you? Where do you stand? What do you say about the Son of Man? Who do you say the Son of Man is? The Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Son of God mean to you? Oh, he's our Savior. No, I don't want to know about everybody. I want to know about you. What does he mean to you, the individual? Are you a sinner? I pray that you see that you are. The command from the Lord is to repent and believe and trust in him. Not religion, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in his death, burial, and resurrection in a substitutionary way and payment for your sin. Believe and trust in him, and he has promised to save. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.